You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Everyone, and welcome in again for another amazing, fantastic episode of the Over Nerds. I am Brock, and here with me is Meridon, and we are rearing to go. Meridon, how are you?
I am doing pretty good. How are you?
Oh, I love to hear it. I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's been a short week so far. Not a lot that's going on, except, you know, some of the most crazy Overwatch I've seen in a little bit.
Yeah. We were all over the place. Got some blowouts, got some close games. We were a little all over the place.
Yeah, this is some classic playoffs, and, you know, we didn't get that last year in the playoffs of this time of year. A lot of the games were super close. They're all very even for the most part, but now, oh boy, did the upper echelon teams make it known to everybody that they were indeed the properly placed rank. Properly seated. There we go.
Oh, yeah. And it's basically, like, solidifies what we've been saying all season, that, like, the top three teams are just on a different level than the rest of the league. They are just so spread out. It's crazy. And they've proven that.
And yes, they have. And I cannot wait for these last two teams to meet in the finals in Philly. Live and in action. That's going to be such a great time.
It really is, yeah. What I was saying earlier, I was really excited to actually meet Brock in the flesh. But I've known you probably, how long would you say? About 6 months, maybe more than that?
I think 6 months sounds about right. Yeah. But, you know.
Should be fun.
Oh, yeah. And it's even goofier because we're like, quote unquote, actually kind of close geographically. But, yeah. You know, it's good to finally get out there and shake Meridon's hand for the first time. So
yeah, and network too. There's a lot of people from your the Gamer House that you write for. Lots of friends and acquaintances I know are also making it down. You know a lot of people making it.
Kind of by accident, right? Like I said, yeah. I know all my Game House peeps are gonna be down there. The Weekly Uprising guys are going to be down there. They said they're going to maybe tailgate. I don't know. I'll ask them again. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But they'll be hanging out. I'm sure a bunch of other podcasters will be down there, so we need to start saying hello to some people.
Yeah.
Reach out a little bit.
If we have any other fellow Overwatch podcast hosts listening, definitely tweet at us. We'd love to meet up and network.
Oh, I just realized we should make shirts.
We should. I have my one Over Nerd shirt. Toxic has the other one when we were doing a convention here in Philadelphia.
All right, I'll just Sharpie mine in.
Yeah, you're going to have to Sharpie it in.
All right, but we can talk about the fun extra fan stuff that they announced recently towards the end after we discussed these games. But that I'm actually super excited for. That ended up being one of the cool things I've seen in a little bit.
Yeah, they're kind of like, hey, surprise, we're doing a cool little fan fest thing and some activities that start at 10 o'clock. I think the game starts at 3.
Yeah.
But they're kind of, that's going to be something nice. They didn't really have too much room to do that in Brooklyn last year.
Yeah, so that's the bonus of getting the bigger stadium in Philly. Like, I don't is Wells Fargo bigger? I don't know. We'll look that up.
I mean, I live in Philly, and that area is just it's the sports complex. So there's so much room to do things down there. Where like Brooklyn, if you've ever been to the Barclays Center, you were there last year, right?
Yeah.
So that obviously, like, you saw it. But if you've never been to the Barclays Center, it's in the middle of Brooklyn. So there's not a lot of room to have activities and all of this stuff set up. there's a big entrance area and stuff to the stadium, but like there wasn't too much. They had some stuff inside. They had like that Sharpie wall and some other random stuff in there.
Yeah, they had some photo ops, but I don't know if they were with a lot of players or maybe more just kind of people who were around and wanted to take an Overwatch photo next to the arena. But either way, gonna be super excited. We've been rambling about non-game stuff, so let's dive in, Jardon. What was the first game?
So the first game was the Hung Zhao Spark going up against the Atlanta Reign. Hung Zhao just slapping the Atlanta Reign 4-0. That was shocking to me. I really thought that this game would be a lot closer than a 4-0 Spark.
Me too. I really believed that the Reign were going to play tighter, come back from their previous loss, and shock the Spark, but nope, not even close. Just absolute dominance from the Hung Zhao side. Just like I was saying right before this, Bazzi had an insane game on Doomfist. He looked crazy. Gushue, as always, just an utter force of a main tank. Godspeed, just doing amazing DPS things. They as a team, looked unbelievably good.
Yeah, yeah. I love my man Godspeed. He's always been on the radar, but he's kind of grown on me. Gushue has always been also hanging out in the fray. But man, 4-0 against a team that came in and upset the San Francisco Shock to put them in loser's bracket. Like, I would have thought the Atlanta Reign would make it a little bit further. I'd see them. I was pretty convinced that the Atlanta Reign would be playing the San Francisco Shock to go ahead and play for loser's final, but
yeah our preds are dead. we did not expect that.
No, our brackets are busted, and then busted over again. I mean, I guess technically mine isn't. I did pick a winner that may or may not still be in it, but
oh true,
I did some revisions last week after seeing somebody like the NYXL just taking care of business. And we're going to get into how that played out. If you don't know how it played out, I don't want to play spoiler already, but yeah.
Yeah, don't worry, because we'll find out very soon.
Yeah.
As the next game was even quicker than the previous. The LA Gladiators lost in very, almost disappointing fashion to the San Francisco Shock. The Shock came in with a vengeance and just crushed the Gladiators.
Just beat the piss out of them.
Yeah,
I expected this outcome anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, I didn't expect a 4-0 complete ass whooping, but I expected like a 3-1 or a 4-1 or a 4-2, but just 4-1 smack or 4-0 smackdown of quick games. Kevin from MLG that we speak to a lot. It's at Kevin Schelt. I'm probably butchering that on Twitter. Made a comment the other day before the NYXL Titans game. He's like, this game's probably going to be longer than the games combined from yesterday. And this was tweeted out on Friday. I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
little insane. Just two blowouts back to back on Thursday. You blinked and the night's games were over.
And that's just one of those things where the Gladiators are always so close to being the top tier team, and they prove that they still can't get there. They're going to keep looking up to the teams like San Fran, Vancouver, New York, just hoping to one day break through that ceiling.
Yeah, I'm happy that the LA Gladiators picked it up throughout the season. I know they had the kind of a slow-ish start, not like the Valiant, but they really didn't like. They really weren't proving much in the beginning, and then they woke up. I always say they woke up the week that I saw them, because they looked awesome the week I saw them from that point forward. But I kind of knew that the Gladiators weren't on the level of the top three. I really feel like the Gladiators would never confidently break the top three, and this kind of was proving my point there, that you know they just get smacked down by one of the top three teams.
And that's not much to be said about that, unfortunately, I think. They came in, they played well. Like the Gladiators don't play bad, right? As bad as that sentence sounded. The Gladiators are a very talented team with very good players. It's just super unfortunate that a team like San Fran is just leaps and bounds better still. Whether it be just pure coaching or through sheer mechanical skill, which is a little bit debatable, but the San Francisco Sharks just had such a greater grasp on the meta and how to play it and how to play around shields and various, you know, shenanigans that the Gladiators may have played, right?
Yeah, so. And you look at the pure skill and talent that's on the Shock. I mean, the LA Gladiators do have some talent. They have Hydration, who has been playing really well, especially on the Doomfist. You have Scherfer, who is like a household name in the Overwatch community, competitive Overwatch community. Those two are the two names that stand out the most. They have a pretty good support core and a pretty decent tanking core. But if you look at the San Francisco Shock, it's, you know, Sinatra, league MVP. You have Rascal that gets thrown in there. You have Architect that gets thrown in there for Sinatra, who is disgusting. You have Choi Hyobin, who's pretty good. You have Moth that's pretty good. Like, you have, like the caliber of players against a team like the Gladiators, like, they just outclass them, like, right off the bat.
It's so dumb to have essentially four starting DPS on your team.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So you don't need to have Architect in every time, right? You have Striker popping in the Reaper.
Yeah.
Or you have Sinatra, who's been playing a ton of Doomfist. Oh, they don't like the matchup for Doomfist or something? We're going to put Ben Rascal for a hit scan, right? It's ridiculous. It's almost an embarrassment of riches on the San Francisco Shock side.
That's what happened in one of these later games with the Shock. They're just like, you know what? We have a pretty decent lead. Let's throw Rascal and Architect in there. And when I watch that, I'm just like, okay, I guess they don't want to 4-0 this team. And they went in and took care of business.
Yeah, but before we get to that one, let's talk about the match of the week.
The heavyweights.
The heavyweight bout that went about 15 rounds.
Yeah.
The New York Excelsior versus the Vancouver Titans.
Yeah.
And an absolute beauty of a game. The brawl. Titans win 4-3.
Yeah, just all-out brawl. This was pretty good. I was telling Brock earlier, I was talking all that smack last week. I passed the hell out on Friday, because I always pass out on Friday from the work week. I woke up, and it was like, I think it was like the second-to-last map. I'm just like, oh, no, I missed all of it. Talking all this crap, like, you got, not going
to
make it, you're wrong. And here I am missing it because I fell the hell asleep. But, man, what a brawl. The Vancouver Titans and the NYXL. I really thought the NYXL going into this had the edge just because of that just ridiculous play where the entire team is playing around Sabiobi and that just, like, outrageous Bastion play. I'm like, man, NYXL, unbeatable at this point. They're going to the finals beating the Vancouver Titans. And I was wrong.
It's not your fault, to be honest with you. No. The Titans are just... they're a whole another level. Again, it's just something that even one of the top three teams, literally the third seed team, I take that back. Is New York second seed or third seed? I probably should have double checked that, but
They are the second seed.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, third is San Francisco.
Sure. The 1v2 matchup, right? Look how much of a difference between 1 and 2 is in this top tier.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So close. Each game was super close, but the Titans still have that advantage of being able to finish out a game. And most importantly, to take out of this matchup, the New York Excelsior choke narrative is dead. Put that in the ground. This was not a choke. This was a surefire win from the Vancouver Titans. The New York Excelsior were playing, they were quote-unquote the underdogs, which they absolutely were, especially after the horrendous Stage 4.
Oh, yeah.
So, if I keep seeing things about New York choking, I guess that was the other thing. That might have been like the low-key Twitter drama. Was still some people saying New York choked, but that doesn't count because people are dumb.
You know what was really reassuring? The fact that that was a conversation going on throughout the weekend about the NYXL. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just not being an edgelord when it comes to my picks for Overwatch League. I was very, very confident. And you heard us, you know, two episodes ago? Now, last episode, I definitely admitted defeat. I'm like, maybe the NYXL is the real deal right now. Like, me saying that they're choking, maybe I'm actually wrong about that. Now, throughout the season, I don't think we were wrong about that at all, especially stage one where they lost to the Seoul Dynasty, who the Seoul Dynasty are not pushovers, but they were definitely the favorites to win that. And, yeah, I agree. We should put the choking to bed, because that did not look like it was the case in these playoffs, even though they did lose.
No, just unbelievable play from Titans beat an extremely good New York team. That's what happened, right? Yeah. New York didn't just lose because Nene missed a grab or, you know, some other reason that, or like they didn't get 4-0 like they did in stage two, right? So this was a surefire win from Vancouver. Hawksoul was incredible. Mm-hmm. Slime was incredible. And New York played their hearts out. And you saw Sabiobi holding, I think, Flower's hand when they were down 3-0 because they have to play last match to try to...
Was the game on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, whoops. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What have I done? Yeah, I mean, we're also a couple days behind. But either way, yeah, so we can move on from this because I can go on about how good Vancouver is and how good this runaway roster is forever. Yeah.
And with that win, that does so the people that will be going to the finals and the 29th here in a few weeks, in 2 weeks, that does solidify one of the spots. So we will get to see the Vancouver Titans.
That is correct.
But we need to figure out who's in the losers final first. Well, we know it's NYXL because they lost winners final. And we were treated to another blowout game of the San Francisco Shock just slapping the Spark around 4-0.
Yep, this was the better electric team, the better electric typing from the San Francisco Shock over the Spark. The utter domination of the MVP from Sinatra, again, was just so prevalent. Don't know how you stop them.
Yeah.
Just if you don't know how to stop your like platinum Doomfist against you guys, how do you stop a guy like Sinatra?
Oh yeah. There's right? I mean he has to make the mistake. That's how you kill Sinatra.
Exactly.
You wait for him to mess up, and he doesn't mess up often.
Yeah, I was gonna say, right now he's perfect. So
yeah. So at this point now, so the San Francisco Shock go to losers final. San Francisco Shock have not dropped a single game in losers bracket. They got thrown down there from some crazy performance by the Atlanta Reign, 3-2, and they've been in the losers bracket, just destroying everybody they faced. And their first, in my opinion, like I don't know if I'd say real test. The game against the Spark was a pretty decent test because the Spark have looked pretty damn good, and they 4-0'd the team that the Shock lost against. But San Francisco Shock went on to play the NYXL. And the San Francisco Shock beat them 4-0, making their entire losers bracket run unbeaten.
Ridiculous. They've done it again.
Yeah.
And props to Krusty for keeping this team ready to go every single time. Every time they have adversity. Just a 4-0, not even close. Mm-hmm. Forget it. Oh, yeah. Right? So
This match was deceivingly close. However, they didn't just go in and just plow the NYXL. Now New York won the very first. So it started on Lijiang Tower. New York won the first map, and I was like, Shock might be in trouble. This is the NYXL that I was ready to see go up against the San Francisco Shock. San Francisco ended up taking the next two maps. They won 2-1 on Lijiang, then went to Kings Row and won 3-2 in Kings Row. They went to Anubis and won 6-5. That was a crazy one. And then they went to Rialto, sealed the deal, 3-2. So every map was by one, was a win by one. And Rialto was that map where the San Francisco Shock were like, you know what, we're just going to take our MVP and striker out. We're just going to throw Architect and Rascal in there. And then they looked dominant. When they got thrown in there, I know that they're like, they're both of those players are not pushovers. They're great talents. But I was like, all right, maybe they're just like, we'll give NYXL a map. And that didn't happen.
No, they didn't even finish. San Fran full held them. Or I guess not full held them because it's a, what's it called? They capped 2 points.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was just, again, New York facing an extremely talented team. Yeah. Not a joke. They just lost to, unfortunately, a team that had a better game that day.
Yeah. I feel like NYXL played their hearts out.
100%.
But San Francisco just had a better day, and they played their hearts out a little bit more.
Yeah, there's a universe where New York 4-0, right? Mm. Because of how close these games were. Unfortunately, yeah. We're not in that one right now.
The margin of error was not very, very, it was not, it's not a very large margin of error. So, like, if one or two team fights went the other way, we could be talking about the NYXL up against the Titans in Philly coming up. These games were pretty damn close.
Yeah, so
super great viewer experience. Holy crap, those were some fun games to watch.
Yeah. If you're going to show anybody some Overwatch, right, especially some playoff Overwatch, this game, and then obviously the New York-Vancouver game. Now, it's unfortunate for New York fans because it kind of gives the wrong impression that New York always loses. But, you know, you get to see Sabiel being a leader on that team all time and time again, yeah. Just, like, high-fiving guys down the line, trying to keep morale up, just trying to do anything he can to spark this comeback. And it didn't happen this time around, but
yeah. Maybe Obi's a true leader.
If they put actual C's on their jersey, if he doesn't already have one on him, yeah, they should do that because he's an absolute captain, absolute leader of this team.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, that was the match. So they put Flower in at the very end in Rialto. And that's when, like, Sabiel, we, like, grabbed his hand. It was a precious moment.
Saying, yeah, just saying, hey, you got this, man. You, like, yeah. We believe in you. We are on the same. We're family here. And
yeah, that's pretty. That had to be intense for Flower, because Flower's been like, he's played for the World Cup team. He's always kind of been in the fray, but never really played for a Overwatch League team until this year. And then you throw this guy in, you're losing 3-0 against the San Francisco Shock. That had to be high stress as a mofo.
Yeah, he played a bunch during Stage 4, but again, like during the really bad Stage 4, I don't think that it's definitely not the same pressure. It's not the same situation. So it is tough to come in off the bench and say, hey, we need you to spark our comeback.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we don't have any more games for next week because there aren't any games next week. We're going to save you guys. We're going to go over this championship game in next week's cast. Give us a little something to talk about for one. And with that, I wanted to go into our next discussion. And then after this one, I feel like this is a good segue for this discussion. And then we'll talk about, I guess, what little details they were talking, like they were speaking about with the pregame championship piece. But Brock and I were talking after or before the cast, and we're like, you know, should there be how the NFL has a Pro Bowl game in between the last week of games or the last week of playoff games and a Super Bowl? Like, what do you think about that?
I definitely think there should be. Now, with the schedule changing, right, because we did the All-Star game halfway through the season, which is kind of unfortunate, right, when you think about it, because the All-Stars halfway through the league aren't the same All-Stars at the end of the league, or end of the season, rather. Hmm. So, I think this would be a perfect time for teams that are out to have a couple All-Stars still play and represent their team, especially with localization. That means a lot more now. Mm-hmm. And it keeps us, the viewer, kind of engaged still with Overwatch, and there's no gap between now and the 2 weeks that the finals are. So
spring's going to kind of suck.
Yeah, it's gonna suck a little bit. You know, now we have to play Overwatch. Oh my goodness.
Don't get me started on that.
Don't worry, we have some patch notes to make it a little bit better for you, but yeah, I think this would be a cool thing.
I think it would too. I think like personally, I think they should just move the All-Star game to the end of the year like they did last year. And use that as kind of a gap, like to close the gap. Or maybe have an All-Star game, maybe have like the talent takedown and stuff. Or maybe have the talent takedown in the middle of the season and have the All-Star game at the end. Because like, well, and I don't know this for sure, I'm going to have to check, but there may be some contenders games, there may be some competitive Overwatch going on, where kind of like there's that void that needs to be filled between, you know, this coming weekend and you know, the following.
Yeah.
And then the week, yeah, between the ending of the playoffs and the finals game itself, yeah. There's just going to be a void there, which kind of sucks.
And I get it for now. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
We're working through it. It's a season two. There's going to be some hiccups. But
yeah,
I think this would be a really good ad. So maybe if we all chime in, we get the All-Star game to move towards the end.
Definitely. Definitely. The other thing was the this little fan fest thing going on.
Oh yeah, let me pull that up as well, because I am super amped for this. This seems so interesting to me.
Yeah. They also announced the person that will be performing. That's not DJ Khaled, so it won't be the most cringiest thing I've ever seen.
My heart.
Yeah, we won't get another one.
Love me some DJ Khaled call and response to a crowd that doesn't know his brand new song. Very cool, DJ Khaled.
Where he says his name 73 times.
Ugh. DJ Khaled.
That was so cringy.
It's bad because I don't mind his music. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It just sucks that it's not everyone knows his stuff. And not saying that I'm some diehard fan. I only know the popular things. But he was only playing the popular things. So when he's calling and responding, trying to get people to start singing No Brainer, which it came out the night before, like, even if I was a huge fan, I don't know the entire lyrics to your song you made last night. Come on, man.
That's kind of a sign that was a little bit of a disconnect between the fans or what they think the fans like or what is popular with the fans.
They were so damn close, though. Like, they got a popular artist, and that was huge. Popular artist in Brooklyn. But
yeah.
Just, you know, not the right crowd for it.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, though. This time, they got a current Overwatch player himself. We're going to see Zed. Yeah. In Philly,
which
is going to be so fun. That's going to be so cool.
I actually didn't know who that was, and I got some sass for not knowing who that
boo.
Was.
Oh, boo. Boo you.
I actually like electronic music. It's one of my favorite genres is synthwave, which is not is kind of electronic music. I did listen to some of Zed's music, and it's a little bit different than that, but it's like EDM.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, so I'm kind of excited for this.
Yeah, he's got some really great stuff out there, and I wonder if we'll get to see some of the... I guess if you're a DJ, you just play everything by yourself. You don't really have, like, the Chainsmokers come in, or you have anybody else that come in and start singing some songs. Mm-hmm. But, hey, you never know, because it's a live show, and anything's possible, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, he'll be playing right before the games. He'll be playing at 2:30, I believe is the number I saw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'll be playing at 2:30. But the Outdoor Fan Fest, which is in the lot, it's, like, in the parking lot, which seems like, and it seems like it's going to be featured by Bud Light, Coke, Fanatics, apparently it's State Farm is sponsoring, that's one of the bigger sponsors, I'm an idiot, T-Mobile, or big connection, it's going to be insane, because they're going to give fun, like, giveaways, they're going to do activities, I can't wait to take some pictures with some people, so this is, like, an amazing thing to do before the games, because I thought it was just gonna be like a 3:00. All right, I show up, or rather, like whatever, get there before to watch Zed, watch the games, and then leave. But I don't want that. I don't want to travel like 2.5 hours to Philly and do nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, to just watch the games.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I might be at FanFest for the entirety of the thing. Honestly, I'm gonna be there as soon as the doors open.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the same thing. I mean, thankfully, Wells Fargo Center is like a half hour from me because I live at the top of Philly, and that's down in South Philly. So, thankfully, it's in Philly, so I only have a half-hour drive. But now it kind of helps me solidify, because I was thinking, I was like, all right, when the hell am I going to go down there? Like, obviously a little early. I got some of the VIP stuff, so I get the different entrance and stuff, so I don't have to stand with all the normies. No, but, like, I get that different, the peasants, the different entrance. So I'm like, oh, all right. I could probably afford to go down there a little bit later, but now this fan fest starts at, like, 10, I think they said, on Sunday. It's just like,
yeah, let's get wild. Let's get wild. Pre-game fan fest.
Oh, yeah. I'll probably start heading down there, like, maybe, like, 9 o'clock. Get down there a little early. Pay an arm and a leg for pricing because Philly does it like that.
Hey, let's go.
And have some fun. Meet some people. Meet Brock in the flesh. Maybe they'll have some players there. They didn't really go too much into detail.
Yeah, I think it's more
very general with it.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, a training camp day for your local sports team. Right, whether it be going down to watch some summer ball or preseason games for me, be the Patriots, mm-hmm. like yeah. those things, people are just around. Yeah. I guess Patriots staff are around, but not really the players because they're practicing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably see something like that. We'll probably see the teams definitely have their reps down there doing fun Overwatch things, right? You'll probably see like a New York rep and San Fran and Vancouver, and they'll probably hang out. They'll probably throw out some free stuff at us. So
yeah, oh no, definitely. I think that was really good for Overwatch League news, right?
It was. Anything else? I think that was mostly for the Overwatch League stuff. There's some Overwatch news.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I think for the league, that's about it. And Maridon, I think you might start playing some comp soon if these patch notes are pretty good, huh?
But
dang,
we did get an announcement today, 9/17. Oh, two big announcements. The first one came with the Bastion Lego Challenge. If you're not aware, they do have Lego sets that are based off of Overwatch. There is a partnership there, and they have one of those events where you win 9 games. And you unlock the player icon, the spray, and then you get a Bastion skin where he is made out of Legos, along with Ganymede as well, made of Legos. Damn it.
Yeah, sign me up. Also, logo Bastion skin, sick. I want a logo Bastion skin. He's just Bastion, but he's got a bunch of stickers on
him. He's just a decal Bastion.
Yeah, he's a NASCAR. That's what he is. He's legitimately just a racing car.
Oh, my gosh. They do have the drops enabled as well. I saw a few Genji Hanzo things, like a few profile icons with like their heads as Lego heads. Profile icons.
Oh, right. Yes. Which is going to be pretty cool. I mean, they're just sprays, right? And sprays and icons. But they're fun. Yeah. They're cool. And that's what they are going to give it to us for free. So,
mm-hmm.
And they get to support some streamers doing it. Go check out some people you probably wouldn't watch because the drops are enabled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm sure Seagull will probably use them. He always seems to have drops enabled.
Oh, for sure. I love these. I was going to say, I just love these 9-game things. They are a good way to get people back in the play, right? And it's just a fun, free skin. And you just have to do... You just have to play the game, and you end up getting it for free. So,
yeah,
I like it a lot, and I hope they keep doing more of them.
Which for me right now is kind of tough. I'm personally taking a break from Overwatch, so it's like I want the meta to be fixed, and they're kind of working towards it a little bit here, because the other thing we have is some patch notes that were released. The first general patch notes were that ground target abilities like Reaper Shadow Step, Maze Ice Wall, Symmetra's Teleporter will now more heavily prefer edges over placing it far away. So I guess it kind of like when you're targeting it, it won't just kind of throw it far away. It'll probably lock onto a ledge first. It's definitely a good quality of life change, in my opinion. Especially for Maze Wall. It's a pain in the ass.
Oh my god, yeah. So, yeah, that one's pretty good. I'm very happy about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, like, super happy about, like, the sim changes, to be honest.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. the before we get to the sim changes, the next one was Bastion. His self-repair no longer consumes resources when he's at full health. It's another quality of life thing.
Right. That one was stupid, the way that was actually made to begin with, mm-hmm. right? That I saw that in the little, like, click YouTube video that they make on Reddit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just, I don't know. I didn't realize that was a thing, but no, happy they fixed that.
I didn't realize that either. I also didn't realize that, I guess, you know what, now that I think of it, I do realize this. Bastion now correctly initiates 0.25 seconds of recovery time when canceling self-repair by firing. I guess he does kind of put his arm back to then continue to fire.
This is a gigantic nerf to Bastion.
Yeah.
The healing output that he was able to do during his ult slash the damage output was pretty oppressive if done really correctly, and a lot of the high tier Bastion players could do it correctly, and not a lot of lower tier players could. So I don't think a lot of people saw it, but if you watched a couple streams, I forget his name. There's the Bastion one trick. I'll find it later. I'll try to remember it. But he was going. He was on Jane's stream. Jane of the Dallas Fuel. On his stream, kind of explaining how it works, essentially, like how that this Bastion ult heal worked, and it looked nutty. But now, if you watch it now, it is significantly slower. The shot time, you can't really cancel your heal to then shoot again as quickly. So this is a pretty tough nerf for Bastion.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right, the next one, Symmetra. So we did go over last week that there was a Blizzard dev that came out and was like, yeah, we realized that the beam buff kind of over-tweaked the beam damage, so we're going to take a look at that. Well, the beam width of Symmetra, we're going to start with Symmetra, her primary fire. Her beam width was lowered from 0.3 to 0.2 meters. And the DPS level was lowered per level. Was lowered. It was at 65, 130, and 195. That's down to 60, 120, and 180. I'm assuming that's by the level of her gun when it gets built up.
Yeah, there's like the three stages of initial, halfway to the full charge, and then full charge.
Yeah, so it's 5. So it's down to 5 for the first level, 10 from second level, and 15 damage from the third level.
Yeah, and that's a nice change. I saw some people on Twitter not caring about it, mostly because they want Doomfist changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Because while Sim is strong against double shield, Doomfist is just better. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care at all about shield. Yeah. So.
And you can one-shot people with the one right click. Yay!
I don't know. For context, we're talking a little bit about this before the pod, and talking about how dumb the one shot mechanic is for Doomfist, and how earlier Blizzard was like, we don't really want Widow to have a one shot mechanic, but like that's what she is. Reward high skill players with the one shot as Widow, but Doomfist gets the one shot, and like you can just do it by accident.
Doomfist, I really feel like isn't an easy character to play. Like he does have, in my opinion, a decent skill ceiling. I wouldn't say like on the level of someone like Genji. But the one move itself, how you can hold right click for like 2 seconds and then let it go and just one shot somebody. I personally don't like that. He's the character that I want to see nerfed before I come back to actually playing Overwatch.
Yeah, we'll see with what they decide to nerf about him, and if they end up putting him in the dumpster. See, he's a very dumpster or broken character currently.
Yeah.
And that's always an issue. It's kind of like the Brig issue we saw a little bit ago, and now she's way more situational.
I like the new Brig.
But and by the way, Colorblind was the Bastion player I wanted.
Colorblind.
With the K. So yes. If you ever want to watch high tier Bastion play, go check out Colorblind. He's done some stuff with CarQ, Jane, a bunch of other YouTube videos where he chimes in and lets people know about Bastion stuff. So check him out.
Definitely. Our other beam user, one of my favorite characters, is also getting nerfed. The beam width is now down to 0.3. 1.5 meters and no longer scales with energy. And her max beam DPS was lowered from 190 to 170. So that means when she's at high charge, she definitely did feel a little OP.
Yeah.
When I was playing her. She felt she was fun to play because she was just so freaking strong.
Yeah.
Point a direction and people would just disintegrate.
Yeah, this is a byproduct of people not really people being the game devs. They saw the shields weren't working quite correctly with the beams, with the primary fires of Sim and Zarya.
Yeah.
So maybe this may have been why Zarya like enabled goats, which is super unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Where this change comes now when they probably needed her the most to break shields. But
yep.
Yeah, it happens. So we're moving on.
Yeah. The next piece is Sigma. So he's getting looked at. And he's got a lot of stuff going on here. His sphere's explosion damage reduced from 35 to 30. His barrier added a toggle for deploying Sigma's experimental barrier. And being hacked by Sombra will now recall the barrier. And this is that change we were talking about last week, where her hack will actually like disable the barrier for the duration of the hack. Which I Thank would have thought goodness. Would have already been in place, but I guess not.
In defense of development of the interaction,
yeah,
it doesn't. At first, it doesn't really make sense for the shield to go away because Sigma's not directly, you know, holding it, kind of like Reinhardt.
Yeah.
But remember that he is causing the shield to go out. So he's the one that's like, his arm is controlling it.
It's controlling it.
Yeah, whatever. He's like, super suit creates super the shield. Suit. So this is a great change. Makes EMP way better. It makes just Sombra a more viable option against the double shield meta. So I think this is a perfect quality of light change for Sigma.
And EMP will actually destroy it if it's in range.
Yes.
Yeah. Accretion was also looked at. That's his rock. The explosion damage was increased by 10, actually, from 50 to 60. And his alt, Gravitic Flux, the intro cast time was actually increased 0.2 seconds, 0.4 to 0.6. So I guess he's got a little bit longer of an activation time before he actually raises his hand to mess with the gravity.
Yeah, this is going to hurt a little bit for Sigma ult.
Yeah.
It's definitely better for everyone and a little more playing around. Mm-hmm. I know it's 0.2 seconds, so it's not like a lot of noticeable time.
Yeah.
But it's going to be totally noticeable in-game. Mm-hmm. When the cool thing about Overwatch is because it's such a fast-paced game, a lot of these small changes end up making a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Sombra's change from the PTR a little bit ago, where her cast time of EMP went up by, I think, 0.05 seconds or something like that. I think it was maybe like 0.15.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately Sombra players were like, this is ridiculous. This is such a huge nerf. It takes so long to use EMP now. The window for a counterplay is gigantic and this and the other thing. And I'm like, holy shit, dude. It's not even half a second. It's not even like a fit. Like, I don't know. It's wild. So something like this, where it goes up from 0.2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be easily noticeable in game. And that's going to feel a lot better as a defense, trying not to get C9'd by Sigma.
Yeah, definitely. The rest of the notes, there were a lot of bug fixes.
Whoa.
And workshop updates. I'm not going to go through those, but I will provide these patch notes in the notes for the episode. And there's also a link on there for the Bastion's Brick Challenge, too. That starts today and goes through to 9:30. So that would be a Monday. That's the day after the finals.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, you have just under 2 weeks to get your Bastion skin. That's all I had for Overthoughts. Do you have anything for Overthoughts?
I think that's it for me. I, yeah? I Yeah, it was relatively quiet for Overwatch.
The past week. The bang was the playoffs, and really there were only two games that made a splash. With the NYXL going up against the Titans, and the Shock NYXL, unfortunately for the other teams, it just got blown out of the water, which kind of sucked. But it is what it is.
Sometimes it be like that, you know.
Sometimes it be like how it be. All right, that's gonna do it for episode 50. First, before we get into everything, thank you for everyone that's been sticking around. Episode 50 is a milestone, in my opinion. We were trying to brainstorm things a little last second to come up with, and we're just like, let's just make this a normal episode. Screw it. But
yeah.
Like, we wouldn't have been here without the listeners. You wouldn't have been out here without Brock. You wouldn't have been here without Toxic coming in and starting the podcast up. So thank you to everybody that's been supporting us. It's truly, truly appreciated. It's been fun so far, and we're just going to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, it's been an absolute blast, and thank you so much for giving me the shot, Coach. Oh, yeah. Really, really, really giving me the opportunity to come in and say my things and then ask me to come back for each and every week. So it has been unbelievably fun. I'm so happy to be here, and I can't wait to go another 50. Let's get three digits in this.
Let's get that bread.
Let's get obtain grain.
Obtain grain. And also thank you to some of the guests we've had. We've had a lot of guests. We've had Highway, Cupcake, Red, and Android. We've had a number of people on. We also had Tomiko, one of the social media directors, really, really early on. I think I might have even been like episode 3 or 4. From San Francisco Shock. So we've had a lot of people help and collaborate and make this podcast what it is. And we're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to keep trucking. Yeah.
You know.
Keep on trucking.
They you can't stop me now. What other songs are there? Life's a Highway.
There we go.
Dig it. I think it's from Joe Dirtay. All right. Anyway, let's. Happy 50th episode.
Yes.
So excited to keep doing it and keep making some great content.
Definitely, definitely. Now, where can we find you on social media, Brock?
Oh, you know, I'm all about the Twitter lifestyle. You can find me there at esportsbrock. I'll be posting a lot of stuff. Actually, kind of coming up between, you know, posting this link. Posting some personal blog articles, some The Game House blogs. So make sure to keep up there. And, you know, I'm so close to 100 followers. Please get me there. I'm so close. I'm at 80. It's only 20 you have to bite the bullet to hang out with me. Or rather, just follow my stupid rambling. So I just mentioned it briefly, but you can also find me at The Game House, thegamehouse.com. That's HAUS for house, where I'll be talking about the Boston Uprising and why we're going to have such a great season next year. You can also find me on my personal blog, which I might try to start writing a little bit more to kind of get my creative juices flowing. That's learningwithbrock.com. That one's a little more interesting, a little more freeform, so just check in once in a while and see if I post anything new. I'll always keep you updated on Twitter. And Level 1 Esports is a great place to start your writing career. I think we can definitely help you get there to move on to some great places. So if you need a stepping stone, Level 1 Esports can help you get there. We are always looking for writers, no matter what game you play.
Yeah. Definitely gone on a bit of a back burner on the recruitment there, since life has just been busy as all get out.
Life has been pretty wild, I will say.
Yeah. Link to that website, it's level1esports.com. Will be in the description, and I'm gonna start that recruiting soon here, as soon as I can breathe. It's been crazy.
Which might be a little bit after, maybe probably after the finals there.
Yeah, no, definitely. You can find me at the McGaming on Twitter. It's twitch.tv/midatlanticgaming. I've since life's been a little busy, I've been back to my slacker ways in streaming, but I do plan on again, starting that back up when I can breathe. You can find the podcast at The Overnerds. Senpai noticed us twice. We wished a happy birthday to Zoe. She liked the post. And then I commented on a post with our social media handle at The Overnerds to NYXL. And man, I got that awesome gif of Sabiolby and Pine in the middle of an interview, and Pine just throwing the sick dab.
Yes.
It's great. Definitely follow us on there at The Overnerds. You can find us at facebook.com/TheOvernerds. You can send us an email if you want. gmail.com/TheOvernerds, _Overnerds on Instagram. We're going to have some pictures from the finals. So we're gonna finally populate this damn Instagram. It's been on the back burner forever.
Don't worry. The first picture will be of your boys. Most likely at the finals.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure. Want to thank the Geekscape Network for having us on there. Geekscape.net. Find your next nerdy podcast on there today. They're pretty awesome. We've got a nice collection of podcasts over there. Analog Jones, the Xbox Game Passenger, Disneytos, Horror Movie Night, 7 of Wine. The list goes on and on. Check them out today. Geekscape.net. And man, our man Max Brown with the awesome intro as usual. Check him out on SoundCloud. His handle is in the description. Max Brown on SoundCloud. Do it. He made our great intro. We'll make a great intro for you too. Not sure if he's taking any orders at the moment to create music for people, but definitely go check him out. He's a pretty nice guy. Alright, that's gonna do it for this week's episode, episode 50. Next week, episode 51, we got some creamy goodness that is a preview of what's to come for the finals. So we will see you then. Take it easy.
Goodbye.
Mr. Paris, set a course. Set a course.
Set a course for the unstoppable Jack and Jen podcast and the impossible
Star Trek Voyager being the material. Wine is the vehicle, just like milk for your cereal.
Here we go, blasting to the Delta Quadrant. Uncharted territory, but we're on it.
So pour me another glass of Cabernet, cause it pairs well with different parts of the galaxy. Never in my life was a crew so brave.
Never was a time that I lacked rosé.
But you learn something new each and every day.
To explore new things is a Starfleet way.
Podcast hailing from the Geekscape Nation. Talking Star Trek with the wine persuasion.
So you wanna live long and prosper fine, then you better tune in to Seven of Wine.
And this is Seven of Wine, where we review an episode of Star Trek Voyager and a bottle of wine at the same time.